you're praying, don't let us hinder you. We're not shutting anything down, but we are going to go into the word of the Lord for just a few minutes, and God's not finished. I don't believe the word is an interruption. I believe God continue to work. Amen. You want to grab your Bibles and read a few scriptures with me? We'll go to the book of Jude. Let me say we're thankful for all of our guests who are here with us today at Turning Point. God bless you. We are thankful that you are here. We welcome you. I told you to pick up your Bibles, and then I gave you an opportunity to clap, and that doesn't mix very well. All of those that are watching online, we say welcome. We're glad that you are with us. Jude, did I say chapter 1? Well, try going to chapter 2, see what happens. There's only one chapter. Verse 3. I'm going to read a few scriptures for you. Did I give you any scriptures up there? Sorry about that. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained of this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And notice in verse 3 his exhortation that we should earnestly contend for the faith. 2 Thessalonians 2:9, I'll read it for you, 9 and 10. Listen to Paul's words of concern to the Thessalonians, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Proverbs 23:23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Father, we're asking you to please anoint the teaching and preaching of your word this afternoon. We thank you for all that you've done so far. We know you're not finished here today, God. We pray that you continue to work, continue to move. Now speak to our hearts. Help us, God. We need you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Why don't you shake a few hands before you go down in Jesus' name? Tell them how glad you are to be in the house of the Lord with them today. We need truth more than we've ever needed it before, I would say. We need truth. And with so many voices, so many contesting voices and contradicting voices, winds of doctrine, the Bible would call it, blowing this way and that way, and men who are being deceived. And Jude warned us that there were men, certain men, that had crept into the church. It's no different in our day than it was in Jude's day, that there are men who are corrupted by spirits of confusion, and he said they are crept in. That means they kind of snuck their way in, and crept in. They didn't do it openly. They did it unawares. In other words, they did it in this clandestine fashion that even those who should be watching over the flock maybe didn't notice. And he said they've kind of crept their way in unawares. And these are men who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. They're ungodly men. They're They're turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. They're preaching. Paul would say, if there's anybody that comes preaching any other gospel than the gospel that we've come preaching, he said, let him be accursed. That you need to mark those people who are preaching something that is false. You need to mark them. You need to know them. You need to be aware of them. Keep an eye on them. And then Paul says, if they're preaching any other gospel, anything that's not the word of God, he was so strong about it, and it's such a threat to our existence and our salvation that he would say, you just need to mark him as being accursed. Don't bless him. Don't support him. Don't wish him Godspeed. Don't send him money. Don't send him postcards saying congratulations on your new ministry or your new preaching appointment. He said, you need to, the test was not how well does he preach or how animated is he when he preaches or how big of words does he use when he preaches or how popular and how many people can he get in the seats when he preaches. The real test was, when he preaches, is he preaching the gospel of truth? And if he's not preaching the gospel of truth, doesn't matter how well spoken he is, how popular he is, how many seats he can fill, if he's not preaching the truth, Paul would say, let him be accursed. Strong words. Don't fellowship him. Strong words. It wasn't, if you see some minor issues differently or you don't agree on every little detail of standards or those kind of things, it was just the gospel. If he's preaching another gospel, then let him be accursed. And then Paul goes on to the church in Thessalonica to tell the Thessalonians that and he's talking to them here about this spirit of the Antichrist that would come. And he says in 2:9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Now, can I tell you, the devil does have some power. And he has some power sometimes to come in like the angel of light. He'll have power sometimes to try to convince people of things, and that's why we can't just base everything on feelings or how powerful it may seem. We've got to bring everything back to, I keep saying it today, but everything's got to come back to this word. This word. And he says in verse 10, with all, there's an interesting word here, with all deceivableness. He's able to deceive. He has this gift, this power, this spirit to be able to make it sound like something that it is not. Did you know that your Bible, the same Bible I'm preaching from here, says that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death? Jesus said that there is only one way to salvation. He said, I am the way. The way. I am the truth. The truth. Not a truth. I am the life. He said, in fact, he says, when you come into the kingdom, you got to come through a gate. And he said, it's a straight gate. It's a narrow gate. And he said, there won't be very many. In fact, he said, few there be that find it, because wide and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And he said, many there be that go in thereat. So the easy way, maybe even the most obvious way, and the way that feels right to my heart and to my flesh, and it may seem right, is not always, in fact, it is seldom the right way. I've learned this. I've got to pray and seek God. I've got to study His Word to show myself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. I've got to get in His Word and spend some time with God in prayer. You've got to seek out your own salvation with fear. I mean, you got to take it seriously. And trembling, I mean, it's such of great importance. It's our eternal destination. Where are we going to spend eternity? That it would cause us with fear and trembling to make sure we know that we know that we know that what we are doing is truth, that it is of God, that it is of the Word of God. And it's up to every single one of us as individuals to seek out our salvation in that manner. It's not a casual thing. I'm sorry. The reason I preach so passionately is because this is not a casual thing with me. And the reason why I can't stand still when we're singing and the music is playing is because I'm very passionate about this. It's not a casual thing with me. I'm not just coming to church because it's Sunday. I'm here today because I found out in the Word of God that I was a sinner and that I could be saved by His grace. I found out in the Word of God that if I would repent of my sins, hear me now, that He would forgive my sins. And I did that and He forgave me. I found out in the Word of God that if I would be baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ, that He would remit, wash away all of my sins. And I did that and He washed away my sins, Brother Southern. I found out that He would fill me with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I opened up my heart and He did that. And I can't be casual about this. I sought Him. I was these kids' age that were praying up here today. I was 7 and 8 and 9 when the Lord began to deal with this young man's heart at the time. I was just a child. I remember the night that I was baptized, 8 years old, Sanders Pentecostal Church. And I wasn't doing it because all my friends were doing it. I don't even know if any of my other friends that were baptized that evening. I really don't know. But I know that the Lord had been dealing with my heart. And there were nights at 8 years old that I would wake up thinking about the Lord and my soul. And I want to go to heaven and I don't want to go to hell. And there are those today that would criticize that and say, oh, we're making our children nervous. I beg to differ with you. I'm telling you, we got to teach them when they are children that Jesus loves them and Jesus died for them. And that if they will repent of their sins, I don't care if they're 6 or 7 or 8 or 9, that the Lord will forgive their sins. Last week we baptized, was it last Sunday, a couple Sundays ago, when we baptized Lyndon, who's 6 years old. 6 years old. Some would say, well, you know, I don't know about 6-year-old. Well, you look into the face of that little 6-year-old that's down there praying with his hands raised and tears streaming down his face and praying to God, and God's moving on him and he's shaking. And so we baptize them and the Lord's dealing with them. And when they've repented, and I believe God, we've got children over here. Raise your hand if you've already been filled with the Holy Ghost. And I want you to see what the Lord's doing. Lyndon's got his hand up. He said, Papa, I spoke in tongues when I came up out of the water when you baptized me. And Lyndon's received the Holy Ghost. He's praying now for the Lord to give him a little confirmation. But these children, these young people, have been filled with the Holy Ghost. Because the Lord dealt with their hearts. And they've been taught truth. And truth resonated with them. But we can't just go by our feelings. Our feelings will mislead us. There's a way that seemeth right. And so I've got to, with fear and trembling, seek out the truth. And the truth is, the Bible says that if I repent, and I must repent, He'll forgive me. And if I'm baptized, I must be baptized. You must be baptized in Jesus' name. There's no other way to be baptized in Jesus' name. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12 tells us. So it's got to be in the name of Jesus. And that if we do that and we open our heart to the Lord, He will fill us with the gift. The gift, it's freely given to us, the gift of the Holy Ghost. Thank God. And when we do that, the Bible says we're born again. Born again. That's what Jesus referred to it as when He spoke to Nicodemus. He said, you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. The writer of Proverbs tells us that it's so important. The truth is that we are to buy the truth, buy into it, invest in it, buy it. We got to go after it. We got to love it. Paul said that these people in 2 Thessalonians, I'm jumping back and forth, forgive me, but he said the problem with them, this deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. It was in them that perish. Why? He says, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now listen to me, church. We've got to love the truth. We've got to love it. We've got to cherish it. It's got to be the most important thing in our lives is the truth. And because they didn't love it, they were deceived. And because they were deceived, they were lost and they were not saved. And so the writer in Proverbs would tell us it's so important, the truth, that we need to invest in it. That's what buy means. Purchase means we got to make an investment into the truth. We search it out. We look at it. We study it. We read it. We love it. We pray over it. We spend time in it. Let me share some words with you here from Deuteronomy. If you have your Bibles, in fact, go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 31. If you want to get that on the screen, Deuteronomy chapter 31. Now, I don't know, 6 or 8 weeks ago, my wife, we had new tires put on her minivan. And when we had the tires put on, they told us, you know, you need to go get the alignment checked because the wear pattern indicates there might have been some alignment issues. And so we had the tires put on. Now, you don't want to get new tires. Let me give you a little grandfatherly advice, young people. Don't invest in new tires and not get your car aligned because it'll chew up your new tires, see? It'll be a waste of your money. And so we went out a few days later, and we got her car aligned. A few days later, we went on a trip up north, and I was driving the car, and I said, man, it feels like to me this thing's pulling to the left. And I tried to, you know, feel it out and see what I thought, and it was so windy that day, I thought, it could just be the wind, it could be the road. And so I just forgot about it. I don't drive her car very often at all, and I kind of forgot about it. And then she started telling me, you know, I think you may be right. This is some weeks later. I think you may be right. It does seem like it's pulling a little bit. And so next time I drove it, I said, yeah, we need to get this back in. Now, this has been 8 weeks or so now. And so we took it in to the place where we had the alignment done. And they ran some tests on it. And they came out and told us that, sure enough, it was out of alignment. Now, these alignment places, let me give you some more grandfatherly wisdom. If you find an alignment place that will come out and tell you, we made a mistake, stay with them. Because most of them are going to tell you, you hit a pothole. No way we could have messed it up. You must have hit a pothole. No, we don't remember hitting any potholes. But maybe we did. We didn't argue with them. But they came out. Now, I didn't blow this up and I didn't put it on the screen. But this is a report that has some little pictures of her front tires and her back tires and the suspension, and it's got little numbers, and it's got words like camber and caster and toe. Do you know what those mean? Yeah. And you're pretty smart about stuff like that. I don't either. I don't know. I was looking at this, and it might as well be an EKG. I can't read it. I was like, okay, you know, but you want to, yeah, oh, I see the camber was off, 0.7 degree. Yes, of course. For all I know, they print up the same report for everybody that walks in. I have no idea. But this is what it said. You know, your left front is the camber is 0.0, and caster is 2.7 degrees. And I don't know what any of these mean. But anyway, they came out and said, sure enough, front and back was out of alignment. Here's your report. My wife, she's so organized, I had to go dig this out of our records this morning. She records everything. She already had it filed. So this is a copy. It's not the real one. She's all nervous there. We got to have that in the files. Somebody may ask us someday, how much was your car off? It was 0.27 off that back 5 years ago. So it's just a copy, dear. She's so organized and I'm not. But pray for us. So anyway, here's what I do know this. This is what they do. They take your car and they put it up on some kind of a machine that tests how true your tires and your suspension are lined up. That's why it's called an alignment. And this machine tests that. Now, the machine they use has to be calibrated, it has to be right, it has to be true. And as long as it's true, then every car that they put on that, is it a machine? I don't know. Every car they put on that machine, they're going to find out if that car needs correction. Cars that need correction, pull. If you've ever been behind a car that's real out of alignment, it looks like it's going like this. That's a car that's out of alignment. Their tires are getting ruined. And they're having to, they're getting biceps and triceps holding it on the road just to hold it on the road. Because it's trying to pull one way or the other. But they put it on the machine and the machine says, this tire's off, this back tire, this front tire, this, and you need to correct this much. This. Now, they don't know that unless they bring it and they put it up on the machine. Now, that doesn't mean anything to anybody. But let me see if it, I can come at this another angle. Deuteronomy 31, verse 10. And this is Moses talking to God's people regarding the what's referred to as the year of release. Every seventh year, they were to do some things. They were to, one thing, they were to let the land rest. They weren't to till it. They weren't to farm it. And they let it rest. And whatever grew, grew. And that was there for the poorer people could come in. Everybody could come in, and strangers, and they could eat whatever grew. But the farmers weren't to farm the land. They were to let it rest. That was every seventh year, the year of release. It also represented if you had served as a slave, maybe you had sold yourself into slavery every seventh year. It didn't always essentially coincide with the year of release, but on the seventh year of your indenturement, you were to be released. So you would not serve more, if they followed the law, you would not serve more than 7 years. You would be released. Oh, here's a good one. You'll like this one. Every 7 years, debt was canceled. I might vote for somebody if they ran on that platform. I just stirred up a bunch of conspiracy theorists right there for that. That's what they're trying to do. There was a couple of other things, but these are the main things. Now listen to what this is what Moses reads concerning this year of release in verse 10. He says, Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles. So this was to coincide with one of their feasts, the Feast of Tabernacles. And here's what he says is to happen. When all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men, women, children, and even the strangers that are within thy gates, that they may hear, that they may learn, that they may fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law. Now, to help us here, let me just put this in a New Testament context. Law was the word. With me? Was that deep? The law was the word. Today we would say the word of God. And so Moses is saying every 7 years. Now he wasn't saying only read the word, only study the word every 7 years. But he was saying every 7 years when everybody's gathered together, you need to bring this nation up on that alignment machine. And you need to check some things, how this nation is doing, how my people are doing. He said, I want every man, every woman, every boy, every girl put on the machine. The machine that checks how we are operating, how we are traveling. I'm telling you, if that gate is straight, we better be walking straight and narrow. So we have a mechanism, if you will, of being able to kind of bring ourselves in and saying, okay, God, I know that there is a... Now listen, that guy that I said is driving down the road and his car is going like this and you get behind him and you're thinking, what in the world? He's probably been driving that way so long, if he got in a car that didn't pull to the left, he'd have a wreck. He's so accustomed to that car pulling that way, he don't even notice it anymore. And so every once in a while, we've got to understand that there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but it's not the right way. And so I've got to bring myself under the subjection of the Word of God, and I've got to let God look me over and work me over and inspect my life. How am I doing, Jesus? Am I still living right? Am I still living in the truth? Am I treating my brothers right? Do I have anything in my heart that shouldn't be there? Have I got any unforgiveness? Come on now. Have I got any sin that's crept in unaware? I need to bring myself under the Word of God. Now let me tell you this. If it goes against the machinery, the machine is right and you are wrong. The Word is right and I am wrong. This is true. My life must be true. But I can get out of whack and you can get out of whack. And so truth is important. You with me? He says, now let me read through this one more time here. I'm not going to be much longer. He says, gather the people together, okay? Gather the people together. Men, women, children, strangers, that they may hear and that they may learn. Now jump up to verse 11. He says, when they've all come together into one place, you're going to read this law. Let me break this down just a minute. First of all, he says, I want you to read it, because as much as I'd like you to memorize it, your memory's going to fail you. Anybody my age or older learning, memories fail you sometimes. Amen. I had somebody come up to me the other night. They were so gracious about it. I want you to know you were so gracious. I can't think of a better way for you to have handled it. I really can't. But they asked me, Brother Hawkins, you mentioned David going to the brook Cherith. And this person said, where did you find that? Because that's really cool, because Cherith means to cut down. And what they were really doing was saying, Brother Hawkins, it wasn't Cherith. I know. And so I said, well, wait a minute. You're right. No. Absolutely. And they did it so kindly and gently. I want you to know, you should write a book on how to bring stuff to people's understanding. But my memory failed. It was Cherith was where, of course, where the prophet went. And that's where he was given provision. So we really don't know what brook David went to. Now, if I'm just going by my memory, see, I never read the Word of God, I start getting all these things wrong. The older we get, the more our memories kind of start slipping. He said, at least every 7 years, I want you to read this law. It's a big law. It's a lot of words. I want you to bring everybody together, and I want you to, everybody say, read. We need to read. Don't just get the word that comes across the pulpit that gets into your ear. You sit down with the Word of God and you open the Word of God and you put your eyes on the Word of God and your brain process the Word of God and you read the written word. Here, he's prescribing an audible reading. Moses, you're going to read. He says, when all Israel comes into that place, thou shalt read this law before all Israel. Read it. Read it out loud. Read it before everybody. Everybody hears the reading of the Word of God. Men, women, children. Watch this. Strangers, even the sinners. Share the word, because the word is true, that they may hear, that they may learn, and that they may fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law. Now, I'm winding down here. I know I seem like I'm going to go a lot longer, but I'm not. I'm going to close here in just a moment. we can't just read the Bible like it's some kind of supplementary type of support for our life. You know, it's nice to read because it encourages us. It's nice to read because it's inspiring. The Word of God is not just for inspiration and encouragement. The Word of God is for, you ready? Reproof, correction, rebuke. Now, that's not what we're going to spend most of our time up here preaching, reproof, rebuke, correction. But when the Word of God goes forth, I preached a message many, many years ago. I was a young preacher. I hadn't preached very long, but I preached about something. After the sermon, I won't tell you what it was about, but after the sermon, a precious older lady came up to me. She said, Brother Hawkins, she was mad. She said, were you preaching to me? I said, well, what about? She said, when you said that about this and that. And I said, well, do you do that? And she said, yeah. And I said, well, then I was preaching to you. She's audacious enough to come and ask me. I didn't know I was preaching to you. Nobody would have known. But this is the quality of the Word of God. It's just the Word of God comes, and if it hits us, it hits us. If the machine says your front tire's off, then your front tire's off. I didn't single anybody out looking for people with front tires that are out of alignment today. I'm going to preach to you. I'm just saying, here's what the machine says. Here's what the Word of God says. Here's what is true. And we're either lining up or we're not. If we're lining up, thank God. Go win some souls. If you're not lining up, well, bless the Lord. Thank God for mercy. Repent. Get straightened up. And go win some souls. That's all. It's that simple. We just got to live for God. We got to do right by the Lord. Somebody ought to say amen. See, I hold in my hand today truth. In these pages, it's the Word of God. It's His holy Word. It's anointed. It's inspired. It's His Word. And we learn from this where we came from. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and He made man. We learn about our spiritual condition, that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We learn about our eternal destiny, either heaven or hell. That's what the Bible says, and that we can be saved. We learn in this book how to be saved, how to live saved, how to make it out of this world one of these days and go to be with Jesus forever in eternity. Amen. I'm going to give one more illustration, and the music's going to come while I do this, if you would. Let's see how we can do this here. I need four gentlemen that would just help me out. Four men. You don't have to be gentlemen, but just four men. I don't know about being a gentleman. Okay. You two, Brother Munch and Robin, you guys go over there to that aisle. Face the back, you two, this aisle here. Now listen, here's what I want you to do. I want you to, I guess I don't really need four of you, but since I called four of you up here, you can go back. Yeah, you're fired. I mean, you're dismissed. Your excuse. You go down this aisle. Brother Bunch, you go down the middle aisle. Not yet. Hang on. I got some specific instructions. Start with your heels against the front here. Brother Bunch, you come to the middle. Yeah. All I want you to do, I want you to just walk from your heels touching the front, I want you to walk 22 feet. Stop when you've reached 22 feet, okay? Don't look at each other for help. Just whatever you think is 22, whatever you think. Go ahead, you can go now. 22 feet, 22 feet. That's pretty scientific right there. I like that. Are pretty close. Let's start here. We'll knock Robin out of the running first. Now, listen. Well, you know. Well, he's right there.
Oh, I thought she was going to go back.
I got him. I got this. I practiced this all morning. Thanks for your help. I understand what you were doing. All right. What did we say? 22? Now, let me ask you this. How are we going to know? What are we going to use? What are we going to trust? We're going to trust him who does not agree with him. And neither one of them agrees with him. And if I had said, men, I want you to measure out truth for us. What's right? How am I going to get to heaven? I don't want you to look at the word. I just want you to tell me how to get to heaven. I'm telling you, this is a depiction of exactly what we get when we don't have the truth. We need something that's going to tell us the truth. Brother Vedas, where are you? He gave me this. I don't know how to read this. Where'd Brother Vedas go? Oh, turn it over. Yes, okay. I wish you'd have told me it only went to 20 feet. That would have really helped my illustration out. Okay. Here, Brother Teague, come take this from me, will you? No, I made my point. You're off because 20 feet's right here. You're off too, right? You might be close. We're not giving any prizes. Do you guys really care who wins? Okay, you can be seated. Really, I could have done it without the tape measure. Just, you're going to go that far, you're going to go that far, you're going to go that far. Who's to say who's right? Folks, we got to listen. You got people on your television set telling you one way. Thank you, brother. You got people on your radio telling you another way. You got people in pulpits telling you something else. You got people at work telling you stuff. Well, this is what you got to do to be saved. Well, this is what you got to do to be saved. Well, this is how you live for the Lord. Well, this is how you live for the Lord. Well, you don't have to do all that. Well, you do have to do this. Well, some people, who are we going to listen to? Now, you listen to Brother Robin Rood, and he's going way out there on you. And you listen to Brother Bunch, and he's like, well, you don't have to do that much. You don't have to go that far out. Brother Rood, he's fanatical, and Brother Bunch, he's just liberal. Come on now. At least you're middle of the road, right? But we don't know. We don't know who's right if we don't take. You better be in the Word, folks. Don't always... I want you to know, I'm not mad at all at the person that came to me the other night and said, Brother Hawkins, what if I get up here one of these days and say, you know, guys, I don't know about all that stuff we've been preaching all these years. I don't know about this, you know, that Jesus name stuff. That's really, we're not winning very many souls. We could win more if we just said, you know, the churches are doing this. Just however you want to be baptized, we'll do it that way. But truth is truth, right? Well, we're not going to talk too much about how many gods there are. One, two, three. But truth is truth. So, well, we don't want to preach too much about sin because we're really alienating people if we just really are specific about preaching about sin. But the word is the word, and truth is truth. And so I think we better hang on to the tape measure. I think we better stay in the word of God. And let me just tell you right now, if I ever start preaching anything other than the Word, if I get up here and give you my philosophies rather than the Word, I get nervous when preachers get in pulpits and they spend more time talking about stories than they do the Word of God. It's okay to use illustrations, but if I'm up here 30 minutes doing tape measure illustrations, find somewhere else to go to church, folks. We got to get in the Word of God. And we got preachers today, and I'm not trying to sling mud, but they'll preach for an hour and read one little Jesus wept scripture. We need to hear word. Give me word. Now, I don't mean everything you say has to be just reading the Bible verbatim, but give me some scriptures and once in a while do some expository teaching and show me the word. I've got to measure up to the word of God. When I stand before God someday, the books will be open. Tape measure is going to be applied. The alignment machine. We're going to see how things are. That's the way it's going to be on Judgment Day. Amen? Let's stand together. We used to sing songs like, we don't sing them much anymore, but we're not writing them much anymore. Songs like, I want to live the way he wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love, love till there's just no more love. I could never, ever outlove the Lord. Those were songs of prayer that said, I want to make sure. Amen. I know the Lord will make a way for me. How many don't know this song? I know the Lord, you'll know it in a minute, will make a way for me. If I live a holy life, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord will make a way for me. Did you find me? I know the Lord will make a way for me. You know it? Sing it in the mic. Help me out. I know the Lord will make a way for me. If I live a holy life, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord will make a way for me.
I wish we'd sing it one more time.
I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know the Lord will make a way for me. Oh, if I live a holy life, shine.
We're getting it now, one more time.
Oh, I know the Lord will make a way for me.
Hallelujah.
I know the Lord will make a way for me. Oh, if I live a whole
Why don't we give the Lord praise right now? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Listen, I want you to know, and I know we've really already had an altar service today, but if there's anybody here today that would like to be baptized, we want to baptize you in Jesus' name. Anybody wants to come and pray, this altar is open to you. We're going to worship just a little bit more. We're going to sing that a couple more times. Are we changing keys? Are we all right? But let's sing that one more time to the Lord. And this altar's open. If somebody wants to come and pray, we want to pray with you today. But this old song that's, I mean, really, think about it. If I live a holy life, we can't negate, we can't get away from that. The truth lined up. Amen. True to the Lord. One of these days, Jesus is coming. It's not going to be very long. And we're getting out of here. We're getting out of here. We're going to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So I know the Lord will make a way for me. Let's raise our hands and sing.
I know the Lord will make a way for me.
Thank you, Jesus.
I know the Lord will make a way for me.
Now if I live a holy life, I shun the to worry about it. We don't have to fret about it. He is our way maker. Can you say amen? Amen. Thank God for His word. Thank God for the truth. Stay in the word, folks. Stay in the word. Let God lead you and guide you. Listen, there's a lot of voices right now. People are going to try to pull you different directions, and everybody's making everything seem logical. Minimizing this and justifying that. And listen, sin is what the Bible says is sin. Holiness is what the Bible says is holiness. And as long as we line up with this word, come on now, we're going to be just fine. God's going to make a way for me. Congratulations, you just learned a new song. And you guys sounded so good. We could go be a choir somewhere. You sounded that good. Amen. God bless you. Hey, we love you. Stick around as long as you like. Shake hands. Be friendly. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Prayer service.